You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, we got the state, the national, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, yeah, all of it. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to the middle of the week. Play it, Boomer.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Whoop, whoop! Congratulations, you are halfway to the weekend. There it is, the camel. Yesterday was camel eve, today is camel day. So we're glad you're with us on this midweek hump day. And we got a great show. Man, we got a great show, and Boomer's on the board.
It is packed full.
I don't know that we could cram another thing in.
Not one more thing.
Like 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag.
Yep.
Just saying.
It's pretty large.
keep your fingers on all the buttons over there. So just to fill you in here, so breaking news that happened just, you know, literally in the last, 35, 45 minutes, we finally have a Speaker of the House. GOP Representative Mike Johnson from Louisiana is the new Speaker of the House. By virtue of a majority vote on the floor of the House itself. And so at 2:20, just reached out to him a little while ago, spur of the moment. Congressman Mo Brooks is going to call in, give us his thoughts. He knows this new guy personally. I don't know anything about Mike Johnson, and that's going to be interesting. But Mo Brooks knows him personally. So we're going to talk to former Congressman Mo Brooks at 2:20-ish to get his thoughts for a few minutes on our new speaker. Then at 3 o'clock, I'm pleased to have someone coming to the studio who is a longtime friend of mine, somebody who I served with in Montgomery, somebody who I was proud to fight for school choice with, former state representative and now candidate for the state school board, Charlotte Meadows, is going to be here in studio with us starting at roughly 3 o'clock. So we look forward to having Charlotte Meadows with us at 3. And then you know the deal, it's 4 o'clock on Wednesday. That's hump day, but it's also Grand Council Day. So, 4 o'clock today, Jeff Poor, myself, and Dale Jackson on the Grand Council right here on Right Side Radio. So y'all stay tuned for all of that. And then I still got a triple dipper somewhere to get in there, so hit it, buddy.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, right out the gate, I'm calling it Educated Fools. Educated fools. What's that verse in Scripture? Thinking themselves wise, they had indeed become fools. Well, it's amazing to me the amount of rhetoric on college campuses. And granted, you know, it's not like that's new. Think back to the 60s. But the amount of rhetoric on college campuses supporting Hamas is really pretty galling, especially in light of the evidence of the tragedies that occurred in Israel just a little over, 2 weeks ago. Well, we're going to talk about that. Educated fools, that's number one. Oh, by the way, you might want to know this. Some of the professors at a Alabama college are on a list, just like that. We'll talk about it. Number one, educated fools. Number two, the education revolution is what I'm calling it. So we're going to have a conversation with Charlotte Meadows. I look forward to y'all meeting her. She's been a champion for school choice for years now. But Charlotte Meadows is going to be talking with us about what it takes to bring Alabama education to the next level. And it's not just about doing school choice. I think that's huge. I think it's important. There's got to be other things that we do within the public school arena to help and to grow the capabilities of our current educators and our students. So we're going to talk about it. Number two on the Triple Dipper Education Revolution. And then number three, I didn't get to it yesterday. If I can squeeze it in today, it's a good one. Cash with a catch. How many times has the federal government said, yeah, we got some money for you, glad to send it on down, but you've got to do things our way? Well, what does that mean? Well, lately it means very liberal agendas have to be enforced. Cash with a catch. That's what we'll talk about, number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me just, guys, remind you that Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all throughout our listening area, Southern Immediate Care is, like, so good at what they do, providing care 7 days a week to their patients, and they can take all ages. I'm talking pediatric to geriatric, I always say. Go see them. Southern Immediate Care, they are the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and we're just pleased to have them as part of the show. All right, so here's the deal. So Charlene and I were talking last night, and at some point we were discussing world events and the Biden administration's response thereto, and it's so frustrating to watch the Biden administration just dither along, afraid to offend even the worst offenders, equivocating on this, apologizing for that, working so hard to be inclusive that they never take a stand on much of anything. And she said that she had heard a pundit earlier in the day ask in regards to Biden, "Where's the moral outrage?" And my wife's response was epic. I said something like, you know, in response to it, it was kind of, you know, well, moral outrage, this, that, and the other. And she said, "No, you got to have morals before you can have moral outrage." Wow. Nailed it. Nailed it. Is there a sense of morality coming from the White House right now? I'm talking about decency. I'm not talking about inclusivity. I'm not talking about earnest beliefs. I'm talking about morality. The actual ability to differentiate between right and wrong, to know that some decisions or actions, regardless of your personal desires, they may still be immoral if you pursue them a certain way. I mean, I can decide that something is worth doing, but I am immoral if I steal your money to get it done. I can decide that I think something is important for the environment, but I am immoral if I force you against your will to take part in it. I can decide that I think kids ought to know things, but I am immoral if I force those beliefs on those kids over the wishes of their parents. Well, let me just cast you back in memory here a minute. You remember an old movie called Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Stay with me here. It was a 1968 classic starring Dick Van Dyke. I used to love that movie as a kid, except for that one character that just really creeped me out. He was simply known as the Child Catcher. I mean, that dude was creepy. Wore a long, colorful coat and a crumpled black top hat. He had a long, pointy nose. And he skipped along with hands full of candy and a wagon decorated like a carnival ride. He would skulk around, ringing a little bell, calling for children, 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 promising them free candy and ice cream, delightful treats, just step into his wagon. The dude was a full-on child trafficker with hands full of sweets, and yes, it was creepy. It was even creepier, though, when you realize that in the movie, his deception and trickery was being played out on young children at the request of his government. Yeah, remember that? The king himself employed the child catcher, and the child catcher was good at his job. He took pride in it. Well, that reminds me of an article that I used in yesterday's show. It's a maddening example of a bloated government believing that it knows best and pursuing its blind adherence to a liberal progressive ideology by mandating it to be put in front of barely adolescent teens. So a little background first. It turns out that in 1992, Congress enacted what is known as the Sinar Amendment, requiring states to pass state-level legislation to prohibit the sale of tobacco to minors. The Department of Health and Human Services was then mandated to begin withholding federal funds to states who did not comply within the next couple of years. Over time, all the states finally enacted their own laws that met the standards Congress set. But in a never-ending effort to prove its own self-worth, the government decided it had to stay in the game on this one. So in 2011, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, began conducting the annual National Youth Tobacco Survey, with the target audience being middle school and high school students. Okay, so they just want to know how many kids are still smoking, right? Well, yes, at first. But in the last few years, the activists who masquerade as government bureaucrats, they realized they had a golden opportunity. Man, they were already getting in front of kids on a congressionally mandated issue, so why not use that as a vehicle to get to kids on other things as well? Why not? It's important, right? I mean, they really believe it's for the greater good, right? Except that they lack the moral foundation to do so. They decided, as government, that they know more than parents. The parents don't need to know what they know as long as they can get the kids to know it. So what did they do? Well, they co-opted the National Youth Tobacco Survey and began using it to give instructive descriptions with follow-on questions about transgenderism among minors. You heard me. Starting to sound a lot like the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Children, come out to play. The government wants you. According to an article in Just the News, In February 2022, the CDC made a non-substantive change request to the Office of Management and Budget, asking to update existing questions on a variety of topics, including what they called questions and answer choices on sexual orientation and gender identity. Really? I mean, don't worry. It's a non-substantive change, they say. Well, the changes made to the 2023 version of the survey from middle and high schoolers was to ask students about their thoughts on transgenderism and whether or not they questioned if they were feeling differently about their own sexual identity. The actual survey reads this way. It says, quote, "Some people describe themselves as transgender and or non-binary when the way they think or feel about their gender is different from their assigned sex at birth. Do you identify as transgender or non-binary?" On a tobacco survey for kids, it gets worse. The next question, which is also not about tobacco, reads this way, quote, "Sexual orientation is a person's emotional, romantic, and or sexual attraction to another person." The question reads, quote, "There are many ways a person can describe their sexual orientation and many labels a person can use. Which of these best describes your sexual orientation? The choices then are straight, heterosexual, gay, lesbian, bisexual, pansexual, queer, and asexual." On a government tobacco survey for sixth graders. This is made even more maddening when you realize that Form 0920-0621, which is the government's designation for the National Youth Tobacco Survey, it starts with a disclaimer that says, quote, "This survey is about tobacco. We would like to know about you and things you may do that affect your health. Your answers will be used for programs for people like yourself." Y'all, we have hit the next level in first world madness. Using one pretext, that of tobacco use, the government has now allowed activists who are supportive of transgender movement to deceive their way into an otherwise innocuous survey given to kids. That's what I said, deceive their way. If you have to lie to get in the door, then you don't have a moral position to begin with. And let's not pretend that this is anything but a lie. I mean, the survey announces itself as being about one thing, but then launches into something entirely different. It pretends to be virtuous, even congressionally mandated, but it morphs quickly into something far more sinister as it not only pries into the inner thoughts of confused kids, but it first actually instructs them, maybe even confuses them, with an air of governmental authority. It's okay. Many people believe thus and so can you. You can believe that way. We're from the government, and we're here to help. It reminds me of that freaking creepy child catcher, that immoral deceiver and prideful kidnapper doing what his government sent him to do. So back to the question of moral outrage. Yeah, my lovely Charlene was right. You have to have actual morals before you can have moral outrage, and what I see from this current administration tells me they don't qualify. But on this end of things, yeah, I'm mad as all get out. I am morally outraged at the lack of morality that is being foisted on our children. And it needs to stop now. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. I mean, y'all, chitty, chitty, bang, bang, think about it. The reality is you got the child catcher, and he's sponsored by government, and he's doing all he can to loop kids into something they don't need to be a part of. What's the difference in that and this creepy survey that says, "We're here to talk to you about tobacco. By the way, do you understand transgenderism? Can we help you with that?" It's wrong. And we need to have a little more moral outrage. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.